Good evening, Abu Yisrael. I saw an interesting question. I must say, I admit that I found the question. I enjoy the question a lot more than the answer. Interesting question on the service. Veikach Migmala Adoinov, he says that the camels of Avraham Avinu were recognizable, and they were different than anybody else's camels. Why were they recognizable? Because muzzled, yeah. And he was Migmala Adoinov, and Rashi says that to teach us that his camels were muzzled, and they were therefore recognizable. They were different than anybody else's. A question that I saw in the Achronim, I saw a question that we find that by Pinchas Ben Yoyah, the Gemara says that Pinchas Ben Yoyah's animals, they would not eat. Pinchas Ben Yoyah, the Gemara says, a great praise on Pinchas Ben Yoyah, that his animals would not eat from anything which was not the Tumas and Maasis were not taken from it. And his camels, for some reason, which is hard to understand, but that's what the Gemara says, that his animals would not eat anything which wasn't Maasid. So the question, it was affected by, I suppose, you know, I don't exactly know how it works, I don't know the technicalities of it, but the donkeys of the animals of Pinchas Ben Yoyah would not eat anything which was also to them. So if that's the case, we have to ask and understand the camels of Avraham Avinu, surely they also would not have eaten anything which is gazelle. If already the animals of Pinchas Ben Yoyah, many generations later, they wouldn't eat anything which was also to them, so surely also the animals of Avraham Avinu would not eat anything which is gazelle. So why did he have to muzzle the animals? I think the question is a very sweet question, a very nice question. I'm not sure what the answer is. Oh yeah, that's very interesting. That's like the answer that I saw. So I saw an answer. Recently, Kim said, one answer I saw. I'm not sure if I completely believe in the answer, but one question I saw, that one answer was actually the answer given by Rabbi Adonai Mikdash Halevi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He answers that for me, that's part of the chesed of the global picture we have from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the pillar of chesed, and he was really here to teach. That was Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Avraham was the pillar of chesed, and he was here to teach others what it's like to be a genuine, kind, good-hearted Baal chesed, thinking for others and generally caring for others. And therefore, he has to be a role. Part of that is to be a positive role model. So if you'd be walking around and his animals would taka not be eaten anybody else's, and it wouldn't do gazelle, but that nobody understands why. So to be a good role model is to show also how to do it. And therefore, he had to have muzzles in order to ensure that people would actually learn from him in that particular way. Yeah, you would show the Anov. Yeah. Perhaps the Anov as well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know. It's a nice teretz. You like it? Yeah. So, in fact, Mikdash Halevi, Agon, Hatzadig Yosef Tzvi Halevi, Duna Zichon Elivach, in Mikdash Halevi answers that. But I think I like the question more than the answer. It's a halachic shayla as to whether it is.
He said, he had no choice, but the shayla is on Pinchas Ben Yoyah, why he didn't muzzle his animals. Why did he rely on the fact that they wouldn't?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
Pinchas Ben Yoyah have got animals or one?
A one.
Right, because Avraham had hundreds and hundreds.
So therefore.
So the one animal had more
and more. Chashash. As opposed to if it's many animals, they cannot. Yeah, that's another tale, perhaps. Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah.
Back. Was it a donkey or Pinchas Ben
Yoyah? Yeah. Would not eat tumia. Yeah. So surely the vote, I don't know how it works. I don't know why an animal gets affected in such a way, because I don't know how it works exactly, but he probably has something to do. It has to have to do something with Pinchas Ben Yoyah. It has to do with him. It must have to do with him, with his personality. Okay, so, yeah, okay, so you like the vote. Okay, good, fine, if it's a good vote, then I'm... Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're continuing in Simon Shin Chav. We're completed Shin Chav. We're up to Simon Shin Chav Hey. And we're going to be learning a little bit about additional halachas with regards to a goy. It's interesting. It's a combined halachas with regards to any Yehudi. A goy shows a malacha about Yisrael. A goy made a malacha for a Yid. A goy performing a malacha for a Yid. This is not a Amir Lenochi specific. It's slightly different angle. We'll see soon what the point is over here. But yes, they are very relevant and very important halachas. So we are learning. Simon Shin Chav Hey Sif Aleph. Mutar lezamen in Yehudi b'Shabbos. You're allowed to invite a goy to eat in your house on Shabbos. Now this is a chiddush. This is a great chiddush. Because if on Shabbos you're allowed to invite a goy to eat with you on Shabbos, so that's... I can hear that. But it's a chiddush here because on Yom Tov, the halacha is, you may not. So there's a chiddush here. That is one of the cases. There's always, it's one of the famous riddles where is the example that something you're allowed to do on Shabbos, you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. So that's one of the three answers. That here we have a case that mutal is amenein yudi b'Shabbos. You're allowed to invite a goy on Shabbos. And Mishnah Berurah explains that if gotten al v'zamenein yudi b'Shabbos after Yom Tov also, although on Yom Tov this is also lezamenein yudi lecholim, you're allowed to invite on Yom Tov, you're allowed to go to eat with you. Gzeira, because of a rabbinical issa, shemaya b'levashal b'shvila, because on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook. But you're not allowed to cook for a goy. You're allowed to cook for Yid, you're not allowed to cook for a goy. So therefore, if you're inviting a goy on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, you may end up cooking more food for the goy, which is also. And therefore, you're not allowed to invite a goy on Yom Tov to eat with you. However, on Shabbos, in which you're anywhere not allowed to cook, the halacha is, you're allowed to invite him. You're not going to end up cooking for him. But you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. You're allowed to cook for them.
On Shabbos.
No, you know, on Shabbos we're not concerned. You're going to end up cooking. On Yom Tov we're not concerned. On Shabbos you're going to end up cooking for anybody. But on Yom Tov, when you're allowed to cook, let's say you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. You just happen, but you're not allowed to cook for a goy. So therefore you're not allowed to invite a goy because you're going to end up cooking for him, which is also.
You're allowed to invite a Yid.
Why not? Because you're allowed to cook for him.
Are you?
Yeah. There is something about Seder night as well. Mutalitin mizoyna is lefonov. You're allowed to give him food lefonov before him bechotzer leochlon, and if you want to invite him, but you don't actually fancy eating literally with him on the same table, you want to feed him just outside in the courtyard. You're making it very nice and comfortable and elegant for him. That's also permitted. Mutalitin mezonos, you're allowed to place mezonos food lefonov before him bechotzer in the courtyard leochlon for him to eat. Veim notlon veyotzo, and if he just takes the food, he grabs it, then he runs away. Ain is kokiloid, it doesn't matter. Leave it, it's fine. You prepare food for a goy, meal for the goy outside on Shabbos, and he takes it and he walks out with it. That's fine as well. It doesn't matter. You know, he's allowed to. Now, v'davka sheni yudi b'chotzer, that's only if the goy is in the courtyard. Havarim oime b'chutz, but if he's oime b'chutz, if the goy stands outside, uposhat yod lifnim, and he stretches inside the yid's house, sheyoduahu, it is obvious, it is clear, it is known, who sheyotzi'enu, that he will take the hand out, and he will be over on meleches. I wouldn't say over, but he will be doing the meleches hoitza, then, alternatively, oy, little shai chafotzim shdech loitze, oh, you give him something which, you know, give him a sandwich, in a packed sandwich, which obviously he's going to walk out with. He's going to carry that, so that also that's going to be prohibited. I feel him oimer b'fnim, even if he stands inside, because I feel him achafeitzim shelin yudi. Even if the items belong to the goy, so this sandwich is actually the box, the sandwich, he actually belongs to the goy. But you are physically giving him this item in your hands, and it's obvious he's going to walk out with it. Take away food. Yes, correct. Yes, that's the difference. And also because he's over here, it's also obvious from his action, that's posha yoda lifnim. The former case is that he's stretching his hand inside your house, and you could see that he's not going to stand in this awkward position eating it. He's stretching his hand inside because he wants to grab and take it and walk out with it. So here, again, it's obvious he's going to walk out with it. He's going to carry it. That you're not allowed to ask. Also, even if the items, say the plate, say the sandwich box, say whatever it is, belongs to the goy, it's going to be also sharoye, the onlooker, the bystander, roye eino yoidea, does not know shachafetzim shelen yehudi. They do not know that his items belong to the goy, and all they are seeing is what? That is a yid giving something to the goy, and the goy is carrying these items around town. So they will think, quite naturally so, they will think that what? that a Yid has given him something to carry around, walk around with. And therefore, that's going to be also. And even if it was designated in a certain specific place, it is still also. So Rabbi said, the point that we're learning over here is a very crucial yesoid. Because what we're seeing now is as follows, that if the goy takes something from himself, normally the case is that he's allowed to. For the goy doing a melach for himself, that's fine. But over here, we're coming across a very conventional Maris Ha'ayin, really, that we're seeing over here in Maris Ha'ayin, and it's a Maris Ha'ayin, that if the goy is taking something from your house, and it appears that he's doing it for you, although he isn't, it doesn't matter if it's your item or his item, since he's taking something from your house, he's walking out with it, he's carrying his awesome with the Rabbono, because it is Maris Ha'ayin, that people will think that you asked the goy to the melacha for you. Does that make sense? I think it's a very straightforward Maris Ha'ayin. No? I think it... Now, anybody who learned the first Mishnah in Shabbos, there's an additional element to this over here. In the former case over here, of Bechotza, if you give something to the goy and his hand is stretched in the house. Anybody learned Mishnah's first Mishnah in Shabbos? So what's the problem over here? If his goy stretches his hand inside the house. Yeah, that's right. Why not? That's right, absolutely correct. Because there's a halacha that... It's akira as it is. What happens is that the goy... You're not allowed to do an akira. It's the Mishnah in Shabbos, first Mishnah in Shabbos. You're not allowed to make an akira. We know that every hotzah is divided into probably three parts. It's an akira, an hotzah, and a hanocha. The depositing, well, the uprooting, the moving out of the shus, and then the hanocha, the placing. And any part of those, I mean, even akira and hanocha, in itself is also medrabanon. So surely over here, the fact you're placing, even if his hand is, the goy's hand is stretched into the house, the fact you're placing the sandwich into his hand, that's the akira. And that is actually also in its own right. And that was the Mishnah actually points out, and say, if cotton gimel, if onov echotza, kosu apoiskim, the daf gelit nelefonov, also to put in his hand is also, yes, there is an additional problem. The Shema Yoitzel Rishus Rabbim will take it into the Rishus Rabbim. For Nimtzel Mafreya, I don't know what this Mafreya is. For Nimtzel, it turns out that Yisrael also Akira Rishus Yochid also is doing an Akira over here. He's doing an Akira, and Akira is also Medrabon in his own right. Okay. You're not allowed to give him something. You're right. That's really what we're learning. You're not allowed to give him something. Now, good question. What if you have a goy coming to your house for whatever reason? Good question. Let's think about the following. Let's explore that idea. What happens if the goy comes, let's say it's a goyish cleaner or whatever it is, comes out and she or he happens to have a bag, her own. And now he or she walks out with it after doing what she needs to do in your house. She walks out with her own bag. She walks out with it. Is this included in this issa or not? Why? No, but we are saying that doesn't make a difference. Shulchan Aruch explicitly says, top line of page 314, even if the items belong to the goy, it still remains also, because the person outside who looks at it, does not know that his items belong to the goy. Nobody knows.
So if it's obvious that it does belong to the goy, then you're okay.
Yeah, if it is obvious. So you're saying that it is obvious? Well, is that, are we agreeing to this svara? That if the goy walks out with something which is evidently, literally, yeah. So I think that is the answer. I think that is a critical answer. That's the issue. That the issue is not, I think that, The issa of you giving something to the goy, because that's going to be a maris ha'ayin. If the goy in her own right takes something into your house, that's not included in the issa. You can't. That's not within the yisoid at all. Interestingly, I just want to point out in Sifkot and Beis, the Mishnah Berurah asks a Zaitik question, which I feel is very interesting and maybe not so well known. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Beis says, "Mutalitin, you're allowed to give food to the goy." So here the Mishnah Berurah goes on a side point a little bit. It says, "After also the Torah b'Shabbos, although it is also to be matriach, to do excessive work on Shabbos, Bishvil Misha Ein Mizunois of Olav, although you're not allowed, we learned that you're not allowed to do, to feed somebody or something which Ein Mizunois of Olav. Do you remember we learned in Shin Chav Dalet, we differentiated about feeding which kind of animals? What was the Yesod? Which animals are you allowed to feed? Which ones are you not allowed to feed? What do we learn? That's right. That's right. With animals which are in your responsibility, you may feed. Animals which are not in responsibility, you may not feed. Pardon? Unless it's a dog. Only dogs. Now, the question is, so which goy are we talking about over here? Which goy? I mean, excuse the comparison, but about animals, we're making distinction between mizunois of olav and ein mizunois of olav. So what about the goy? You're allowed to feed the goy? Why not to feed the goy in the first place? Never mind, you're giving it to his hand. He's taking, you know, it's his, it's not. Why? Mutan lit, the whole Shulchan Aruch is talking about mutan lezamen in Yehudi b'Shabbos, you're allowed to invite a goy to feed him on Shabbos. Why? Is it mizunois of olav or ein mizunois of olav? How does that fit? What's the mechanic? So Mishnah Berurah answers that yes, you're not allowed to really feed somebody in mizunois of olav, but ein yehudi chashim mizunois of olav. A goy is considered mizunois of olav. A goy is considered. You've got the responsibility of feeding a goy. Why so? Le'inyan shemuta l'tirich b'shvola. As far as this is concerned, mishum dev mafaz nesin aniyei einom yehudim im aniyei yisrom nidaki shalom. Because there is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to feed goyim, just like together with Yidden, because of Darkei Shalom. It is wrong to only give food to Yiddish aniyim. You also have got to look after goyish aniyim. Just the words of Mishnah Berurah. Mishum defanasin aniyei einum yehudim im aniyei som lipnei Darkei Shalom. That's the halacha of Darkei Shalom. Now it is that's the halacha. And in Charetzian, even more interestingly, says something which might be a little bit controversial. The love of Kenyim, not only with regards to poor people, poor goyim, but do adin kol enum yehudim mipnei darkei shalom. This is not only the poor people, but any goy. You have a mitzvah to see, you have a responsibility to feed any goy. Yeah. So there's something there. Now it's not so poshut because there is also an issue of. I mean, it's not so poshut, but there's certainly an element of mefanes in Ani Yisrael because of Darkei Shalom, because it's a tremendous chilul Hashem if we only feed Yidden and not goyim. It's interesting, I happened to just recently hear from a very reliable source that Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Livracha, he would be makbit to give at times when he would get a charity letter, and he would be makbit to send to any any charities, even Goyish charities. He would make a point, and he would always then, he wouldn't normally use his, he had a piece of stamp or something, which is Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and 455 FDR, whatever his address was, and certainly when he was a Goyim, he would make sure to emphasize that he was a rabbi. He would just use the stamp and make sure that. But yes, whenever he had a request, apparently so, to a goyish, from a goyish chat, he would actually send something as well. Now this is, I don't know to what extent it's a halacha l'maisa, but certainly it's something to be aware of. Okay, we continue Seif Beis. Heicha de ikim mishum darkei shalom. Heicha de ikim mishum darkei shalom. Now in an instance where there is a problem of darkei shalom, Oi, or be'en yudi alom, when you have a goy that you're a little bit scared of, muta los isloy, then you're allowed to give him something. So again, we are discussing that you're not allowed to give something to a goy because of maris ha'ayin. Don't give something to the goy as he's walking out of your house because of it looks like you're asking him to do melach on Shabbos. So this is generally true. You've got maris ha'ayin. An exception is because of darkei shalom. If there is a fear, there is a, you know, you darkei shalom. For in the example given in Mishnah Berurah is in Sifkot and Tes, could go in any Yiddish chali of a goy that is ill for shorach achamaychel yisrael, and he wants dafke Yiddish food. You know, his goy that is really ill and he needs some Yiddish food for him to get well, like a chicken soup or something. So he's going to the Yid to ask for this medicine. And now in order to get it, so you can't say, now I'm not going to give it to you because it looks like Ma'aseh. And this is one the exception over here, because of Darkei Shalom, for peace purpose, for, what's the right word, for social integration, and for general democratic, pardon? Yeah, that's right. For that, we are strongly encouraged. We say that, no, don't forget about Ma'aseh Ayin for now, and give him the medicine, and send him whatever he needs. Well, send it, and it's not a problem. Yes, generally, don't give him something into his hand. He's going to Ma'aseh Ayin. Put it in his instant, it's fine. The other example is Enyu de Olam, a very strong and vigorous personality who's a goy. Send he again, mutalosis loy, or lishloach loy, allowed to give it to him physically, or to send it to him, through a goy. And that is Mutter. What's like Enyu de Olam, a strong, vigorous goy? What is that? So you've got Nyu, the second white line. Somebody that's a goy, a very strong, probably a senior, important, perhaps a VIP, who's got a certain authority and certain power. So you're allowed to give it to, don't risk your, although he says, we're not talking about danger. He's not sakona, he's not pikuach nefesh over here. Obviously, everything's mutter for pikuach nefesh. But here we're talking about, he is the kind of person that could cause trouble. He's the kind of person that could stir a whole big thing. So just forget about Ma'aseh Ayin, give it to him, and it's mutter. The last example, which is the Ramaz example, Vuadin et Zoich Mitzvah, and also Zoich Mitzvah, Kedogul, Hoitzi Chomets and Beisu Pesach. Very interesting. The scenario is that if you have got Chomets on Pesach, bap chometz beveisu ba Pesach. If you've got chometz in your house on Pesach, then you're allowed to send it out through the goy even on Shabbos. Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Yudalef asked the question. Ve'avto also litain le'en Yehudi, although you're not allowed to give it to the goy, im yodea sheyotzim chafotz beveisu lo shusarabim b'Shabbos. Although normally you're not allowed to send items away, he's going to carry on shusarabim b'Shabbos. Avshle b'shlichus Yisrael. Normally you can't do that. For Kolch King Shem Shlichusai, if you're asking specifically to do something, you're not allowed to. It's also because Mokim, nevertheless, he tiroi b'chol elu. All those are permitted, Mishum de Ledidon, because there's an additional element of here, an additional tziruf of here. Ledidon, l'harbe poiskim, eno lo shtrapim de reise. We don't have a, he's not going to over on the reise anyway. The goy, as he's carrying your item out of the domain, and he's going to go walk out with it. It's only Ma'aseh Ayin of a derabbanon, really. He's not transgressing a deraisa, because the goy is only going to end up walking in a carmelis, not shusarabim deraisa, and therefore he's only Ma'aseh Ayin on is a derabbanon, which we are matter letzorech mitzvah over here. Ve'ein on the shvus ve'tir mokh mitzvah mitnidak shon v'chirai gavne. Now this is makes it a little bit more difficult halach la'maisa for us living in London. Because think about the following case. You have got, it's, let's say, a nice example would be Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos, and you found some chometz in your house, and you want to remove it. It just, you want to remove it. And in order to do, you've got a goyish, a neighbor, a goyish, somebody you can, and you can ask him to remove the chometz out of your house. You've got, it's a very expensive whiskey that you want to have out of your house. So it's, can you ask him to take it out of your house? It's a mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah here says that you are allowed to, because it's anyway only Ma'aseh Ayin over the Rabbanon. It's Ma'aseh Ayin. Yes, normally that you're not allowed to give something to the goy to take it out of Ma'aseh Ayin. But over here, it's only, it's Ma'aseh Ayin over the Rabbanon, because he's only going to end up doing, carrying in the Rabbanon. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. Now, I must point out that whilst this is true that the Mishnah Berurah holds, but it remains a bit of a controversial point, and it remains a machlokes to this day as to whether perhaps the Shishim Riboy element could be that London has a little bit of a different, I'm not talking about if there's an Eruv, I'm talking a place there's no Eruv, but could be that London is worse because it's a very, very large city, and therefore could be the Israel Shizrab and Dereise. If that's true, then perhaps you cannot be Semich on this Mishnah Berurah over here. Because he's not Ma'aseh Ayin Derabbanon, he would be Ma'aseh Ayin Deraisa. If he does carry around the streets, if he does cross the A41, and he does cross the, he does go, it could be that he is actually touching on a Deraisa, and therefore, you'd actually be, it would be, it wouldn't be Ma'aseh Ayin Derabbanon, it would be Ma'aseh Ayin Deraisa. And maybe there's room for stringency in this. But again, if there's an Eruv, then obviously it's fine. Siv Gimel. Mutal Achle Mashkin B'Shabbos Imum Al Bush. You're allowed to, well, mashkin is a guarantee. What happens if the goy wants to change the guarantee? He wants to change, you know, he's had enough of this item, he wants to swap it with something else. So now, is that allowed to swap it on Shabbos? Yes or no? Do you have to tell him, come back tomorrow? I'm going to swap tomorrow. Or can he swap the mashkin on Shabbos? Shulchan Aruch teaches us, Mutar l'achlif mashkin b'Shabbos. You're allowed to change a mashkin on Shabbos imul malbush if it is clothing. If it's clothing, it's mutar. V'yotzi'enu derech malbush, as long as he's carrying it, ki ein zeh masa matan, it doesn't look as if there's a business transaction going on over here. Normally, changing a mashkin is not a great idea on Shabbos, but if it's derech malbush, it does not appear that it's a business transaction, and it's not related at all to a business, and therefore it is mutar, because he's just carrying something, he's changing, he's wearing something, which is mutar. V'gam b'Yisrael mutar b'inyan zeh, even if the yid is the one who wants to change the mashkin, it's still going to be mutar. Im ha'Yisrael tzarech chalav shoy, as long as the yid needs to wear it, so it is permitted to change a mashkin if it's clothing, otherwise it's going to be also. Better yet, the guy takes the mashkin himself, and he swaps it in its place. Better if the git does not touch it at all. That's even better. Then it appears that it's not business at all. And in Simon Shin Zayin, we discussed what's the lach if the guy actually brings something, you're allowed to accept something which is brought to your property on Shabbos. So here in Siv Gimel we're learning that to change and swap a mashkin is mutter. If the goy has got, you've got a mashkin which belongs to a goy, he comes and if it's another general item, you're not allowed to swap. But if it's something he says he wants to change into clothing, he wants to take your suit, or he wants to change the mask, and if it's clothing, it's mutter. It doesn't look like masamatan. Even if the yid comes and wants to change it, that's going to be important as well as when it's clothing. Rabbi said, just to summarize what we covered this evening, we learned about inviting goyim on Shabbos. We learned that on Yom Tov is more chomo. Because on Yom Tov you're not allowed to invite, but on Shabbos you are allowed to invite, and you're allowed to give him food, and you're allowed to provide for him. We learned about the fact that mifanesim aniyei akum. We learned that even if you prepare food in the chotzer, that's fine. But however, if he's standing outside and it's evident he's going to do a melacha, that's going to be also. However, and the reason for that being Maris Ha'ayin, it appears as if he's doing a melacha for you, carrying for you on Shabbos, and it's also with Rabbanon. We did learn, however, that because of Darkei Sholem, it's removed. If the goy is a strong goy, then it is removed as well. And similarly, there is no Maris Ha'ayin if it's a tzarech mitzvah. And finally, we learned a separate halacha that to swap mashkin on Shabbos is mutar if it's derech malbush. Good evening and good Shabbos to everybody.